When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Some of these big guys coming out hitting them. Like, all right, you think you're going to run around our guy? How about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
So wow. If you're not practicing in pads, how do you get hard? How do you get physical if you're not doing that?
Ayuk inside, touchdown. Samuel leading the way. Ayuk comes inside of him.
How do you get hard?
Woody, you're a bad, bad man. Now you're getting to be hard. You're getting to be a real hard guy to figure out. You really are. All right.
Bo teed that one up yesterday.
Little does he know.
Yeah.
You got to admit, the old fella, he's old school still. And I got to call him out. He goes Don Shula on me every so often. He goes Don Shula. What was that thing on Tyreek Hill, Bo said? Go sit on the bench.
Yeah, that he'd bench him or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. It really is funny. The one time I turned you guys on the broadcast, and I hear him complaining about the helmet thing.
Yeah,
it is kind of funny. He's got a lot of those. What was it that also bothered him? The mitt, the sliding mitt thing in baseball.
Yeah,
he didn't like the sliding mitt. Yeah. That bothered him.
He's old school.
Yeah, so I can tell. Yeah, I don't say.
You see what I do to him every time I go. You know you're going Don Shula on me right now. You're so Don Shula right now. He goes, no, I'm not. I go, yeah, you are. You're going a little Don Shula, which is fine, by the way. It's fine. There is some stuff I wish was more Don Shula like. I don't disagree.
Well, you noticed how they handled the Tyreek thing, right? I mean, everyone was asked about it, and people just, no one's going to call him out. That's not their nature over there.
You think Mike's going to go, hey, I got to tell you, I took that personally. Can you explain what that was all about?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, exactly. I mean,
In fairness, though, like it is tricky to handle guys like that because he's making a ton of money. He's essentially your best player. And it's like, what are you going to do?
Mike doesn't want to lose
the
his
locker
leaders
room
and his best players.
I was going to ask you earlier if you thought there was any risk of this thing just turning into a complete meltdown.
So he's gotten rid of some guys, but the guys he got rid of, like the Odell Beckham thing, I thought it should have happened like a month earlier. But I get it. I get it. He gave him a few chances.
Well, it shouldn't have happened at all in retrospect.
Yes. Not even close to.
But do you think there's the potential for this thing to?
No.
Okay.
Nope. He's got his guys back. Even when he's critical, it doesn't sound overly critical, right? He got after the old line and said, hey, this is not about the running backs. It's about, the guys blocking and it just didn't come out. It came out nicely. It was a critique, but it was a nice critique. It wasn't a mean-spirited one, It's just, by the way, I think most of these guys got to be real careful. I was thinking of Shanahan. Shanahan, a guy, refused to go in the game. And he didn't make reference how bad it was. He just kind of said, my guys have spoken, right? He hit it with the other guys on the team. My best cornerback, my tight end, who's maybe the best tight end in football. All those guys, they said what they thought. Now you know how my team feels. That's how I feel, which, can't quit. Can't quit on it. Anyway, we're going to have Mike Florio join us coming up here in a few minutes. We'll talk to Mike about everything going on here with down the stretch we go, man. And the NFL, it's hilarious. I look and I go, wow, this is great. We got all these. And I didn't realize, I'm not going to lie to you, Woody, a couple days ago, I didn't realize that they had two games on Saturday. I didn't realize the Texans and the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Ravens. Are you kidding me? It's like they loaded up on Saturday. They wanted to give you a preview of the playoffs a month early. And they're going, okay, go and enjoy SMU at Penn State and Clemson at Texas. I hope you enjoy those games. There's another game, too, in there, but go ahead. But we're going to give you 7 hours of our four of our best teams.
And they stole Christmas, too, so.
Damn. So,
They took it all, man. They don't care.
They're not very – I don't even know who's playing on Christmas.
Does it matter?
The NBA has –
be honest.
Well, it would if the teams are really bad.
Oh, you're
going to
flip over and watch basketball?
You got to admit –
don't lie to us here.
Some of the teams are really hard to watch. Some of the – no? Are you still watching? Like all Carolina.
Right. Well, I have bad news for you. The games are excellent.
What are they?
On the 25th, you have Ravens and Texans. That's the 4:30 game. And Steelers and Chiefs at 1 o'clock.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you going to be watching?
No, they got you. They got you. They just did a drop the mic. They said, but we won't be – our games won't be all day. There will be a few hours to fill in for the NBA and for college football because we're not going to take the whole thing.
And while they're sticking it to these other sports leagues, they get a chance to really stick it to their fans by forcing you to subscribe to Netflix if you want to watch these games.
I got Netflix.
I'm sure you do.
I'm a Netflix junkie.
Yeah,
I'm watching shows like the third and fourth time. I've been watching all those Viking shows. You ever watch those?
You ask me this all the time. I have not watched any of them, though. I just finished the basketball, the starting five.
Why do you watch all those sports documentaries? You can watch the Vikings, man. They're killing people, sleep with everybody. I mean, it's crazy.
We just got a holiday card. You DJ did? Zog.
I got to tell you, the people at Power 96 are in such a good mood. They're running around here. I can tell they got 2 weeks off. That's what's going on, Woody. They got 2 weeks off, and he's like a little kid. This is last hour of work.
I tell you what's in this card they gave us.
What is it?
It's a Florida Lottery ticket, actually. Not the Mega Millions, but...
No, he's giving away. He's been doing that to everybody today. Oliver.
Did you do it?
Oliver's been doing that to everybody.
Don't call him that.
What? What do you call him?
Zog. But he's... God-given name.
DJ Zog?
Yeah.
It's Oliver.
No, it's not.
Make sure you text him over and say, hey, call him Oliver. All right. Hey.
You just do that because he doesn't like it?
He probably likes it about as much as I like Harold.
Yeah, so as I say, I'm going to walk over there and have him call you Harold from now on. He doesn't know about Harold.
No.
I don't know why you don't like Harold. Harold's a nice name.
Okay.
Did you scratch your ticket?
No. You might
have scratched things. We take done? Off early here if we win the $25,000.
Well, you hit that, then we're splitting it for sure. It's the only thing we'll split that. Hey, Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah. I got to tell you about them for just a second here. The partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation. I just want to say this. I know it's a holiday season. Some of you have gone through a bad accident. Some of you have been injured at work. Some of you have gone with a different law firm and not real happy because all of a sudden nobody, you went with them, you shook their hand, they told you who was going to be working with you, and then they kind of just let you go. Like, nobody checks in. You're in pain, want to know how everything's going, and nobody calls you back. Kind of pisses you off a little bit. Well, you won't have that when you go to Harvey and Gary. That will not happen. They shake your hand and they look at you and they go, we got your case. We've got it. We're going to get rolling. They'll take a look. They'll tell you, and you can always get a hold of them to get an update. They're the same partners who handle your case from start to finish. More than 33 years of experience, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results. Small enough just to call you back. You call them. If they're busy, they get right back to you. Go to CohenandJudah.com. Read the reviews. Partners who you can always reach that do great, great work for you. Hey, if you're in that situation right now, go to CohenandJudah.com. Find out what people are saying and then call 866-FAIR-FEE and meet with them. Go down and say hello to them. You'll love these guys. They're really good at what they do. And they actually have personalities. Remember, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work. You hire them to do.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right. Always fun on a Friday to talk to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And Mike, man, there's so much going on. By the way, I see the NFL just decided to really screw over college football tomorrow for their playoffs. We got two great games on Saturday, Texans at the Chiefs and Steelers at the Ravens. Could care less about college football.
Well, but, you know, this one's interesting to me because I saw a clip of Tony Kornheiser saying that college playing the postseason games up against NFL games is a finger in the eye to the NFL. First of all, nobody puts a finger in the eye to the NFL.
Correct.
Second of all, I don't believe, and I'm in the process of trying to nail this down, I don't believe that the NFL would have played this Saturday, but for the fact that they decided to play Christmas games on Wednesday, and they needed to take the four teams that would be playing on Christmas and move their game to Saturday for week 16. So they have 3 days in between off. So it's like Sunday to Thursday. This is Saturday to Wednesday. I don't think the NFL was going to have games tomorrow. I think it's only because they decided, after initially saying, no, we're not going to do it, to embrace playing games on Christmas this year on a Wednesday.
Well, they gave him two great games, I can tell you that. That's pretty damn good. That looks like the playoff. That looks like a month from now that you could see those teams playing each other. So it was worked out pretty well. Hey, so I'm watching the game. I had the sound down. I'm about half falling asleep. The fair catch, the free kick, fair catch interference, and a 57-yard field goal. Did you know right away? Did you know the ruling on that? Did you know?
Well, and here's why I knew, and this is kind of pathetic because it really dates me, but before the Madden game, the way that the NFL indoctrinated America's youth was through NFL films and through books published by the Punt, Pack, and Pass, and Kick Library that you would order in school, and they'd show up in a box, and, you know, you'd get your books, and they smelled great, and I've still got several of them. And I learned from one of those books, More Strange But True Football Stories, which meant there was an original Strange But True Football Stories that was so good, they did a sequel. And the last chapter of More Strange But True Football Stories tells the tale of a fair catch free kick from a 1968 game between the Bears and the Packers. Mac Percival kicked what was the game-winning field goal via a fair catch free kick. So I became aware of that when I was like 8 years old. And it's happened once since then, 1976, 45-yarder from Ray Wershing, then with the Chargers. And then last night, the 57-yarder. And they didn't make nearly as big of a deal about it as they should have. They never mentioned once it was the longest fair catch free kick in NFL history at 57 yards. The prior record was 52 by Paul Hornung in 1964. They didn't mention that nine had been tried since Wershing and failed. They didn't mention that 15 of the last 16 had failed. They really could have leaned into it and had fun with it, and I was disappointed they didn't make a bigger deal out of it.
Yeah, and then I didn't know the guys were 10 yards back. I didn't remember that one either, so I was just going, thank God that I wasn't doing that broadcast and had to sit there like a big dummy with no idea what was going on and how it was all set up.
So it looked like the old kickoff.
Yeah, you're right.
Kickoff formation we got rid of this year.
Hey, speaking of that, all right, we've been through 14 games. What's been your take, kickoff and kickoff return? Good enough to come back with, or let's make some adjustments, or let's blow it out?
The real question is whether or not they're going to move the touchback point from the 30 to the 35. The touchback rate is down, and I'm surprised that as many balls are being put in play as they are. But if you put the touchback at the 35, you're going to see a lot more kicks in play. The question is, what will they do about the onside kick? Will they finally embrace a 4th-and-20 type play where a team that's trailing by multiple scores has a chance to retain possession, a better chance than what we currently see with the onside kick? Because, look, this was 10, 11 years ago. Roger Goodell was on CNBC, and they asked him what team he roots for, and he says, I root for the team that's trailing. So they want to create opportunities for these games to stay exciting. You want the team that's losing to have a chance to get back into it. So I think they'll do something about the onside kick to make it a more viable opportunity for a team to get back into a game. But this formation's here to stay. It's safer because the impacts aren't as high speed and high power. And, once you get used to it, it's always reminded me of playing electric football when I was a kid. That was another way they indoctrinated us. Drive us crazy, setting up a play for 20 minutes, and then you click the button and they all run around in circles. But it looks like electric football where they're all frozen in place until, the ball lands in the hand of the returner. And I think we've all kind of gotten used to it. I haven't seen a lot of complaints about it. And then there may be some tweaks, but I think this new lineup, this new approach is not going anywhere.
Mike, here in South Florida, some of our fans and some of our media members have had it with the Tyreek Hill social media and time for me to go coach. Some people are offended, especially since he's coming off. He didn't play very well. He and Tua together did not go well in that Texans game. What's been your take? He had to come back and explain the whole thing, like someday I want to coach and all that stuff. What'd you read into Tyreek Hill's social media post?
Well, look, we're all responsible for how we formulate our words. And when you say it's time to go coach, you're not saying it will be time for me to coach when I retire. You're not saying it is an era in which more and more current players should think about coaching when their careers are over. He said, it's time. It is time. Not it will be time. It's time for me to go coach. And, is he frustrated this year? Why wouldn't he be?
Sure.
Is he aware of his football mortality? Why wouldn't he be? He's closer to the end than the beginning. He's having a rough year. He hasn't had a 30-yard reception since week one, for crying out loud. And, he's stuck. He did this extension before the season. He's at the mercy of the Dolphins. I'm sure he would like to be playing relevant, consequential football games in December. And technically he still is, but not the kind that he thought he would be playing. He'd rather be jockeying for the one seed, not hoping to win and get a lot of help. And maybe there's a one, in 100 shot at getting to the playoffs. But yeah, I thought we played his explanation today on PFT Live, and it's predictable, it's convenient, and ultimately it's not convincing to me. He was frustrated. He acted out in that moment.
Yep.
And, it was a little glimpse into what he's thinking right now. And he's thinking, how much longer am I going to be playing football?
Well, I always wonder, too, these 3 years, and I know he's made a lot of money, and he's set. He's right. They're paying him a lot. They extended it for a lot of money. But I got to tell you, how much of this goes back to he's watching the Kansas City Chiefs and this run they're on, and he used to be on that team. Part of it's right. That good-looking girl, it's got to bother him a little bit, doesn't it?
Hey, he called his shot, and they called his bluff. And I think a lot of it had to do when we rewind to what happened in 2021. He was targeted more than he'd ever been targeted before in his career, and it wasn't enough. I think he saw what Cooper Kupp was doing that year, and he thought, man, if they would throw me the ball as much as Cooper Kupp's getting the ball, I'd set all the records. I'd be the Calvin Johnson of this generation. And it became clear in the aftermath of his departure that he was a pain in the ass behind the scenes to the Chiefs, and they finally just decided enough. We're not going to give him the contract he wants. We're not giving him the football as often as he wants it. If anything, he's keeping our offense from being what it can be because Patrick Mahomes is trying to force the ball to him because, we don't want to hear this guy complaining that he didn't get the ball enough. And so they ship him out. And they've only won every Super Bowl that's been played since they traded him. Now, I don't know if they're going to win this one, but going 2-for-2 in championships after you trade a guy who would have been regarded as one of the indispensable figures for the first championship you won, that really made the Chiefs look good, and it didn't make Tyreek look all that good, and he's been chasing that ever since. And, you know, he realizes now that it's a lot harder to have an elite team put together than he thought it was.
Last night I did a little radio back to San Francisco last night with their sports station out there. They're on this Brock Purdy thing. Some of the fan base and some of the media guys are like, I don't know. It's a lot of money, between 50 and 60 million. You know, it's up, and he might play hardball with them, and you guys went through it. What was it? What's your take on Brock Purdy? They have to pay him, don't they?
Well, Brock Purdy's got one more year under the contract, so they can kick the can through 2025 if they choose to do so. And the 49ers have been challenging for players to deal with. You know, they're not just going to hand a bunch of money over to him if they don't have to. And I keep saying, and this goes all the way back to Jared Goff's initial contract extension with the Rams in 2019. I was shouting from the rooftops, don't give him a market value contract, and they did. And 2 years later, they attached a first-round pick to his contract to get it off the books, for crying out loud. And look at the Tua situation. If we applied sodium pentothal to Stephen Ross right now or attached him to a lie detector test, would he say, man, I wish I hadn't given Tua that contract? Like, we see these deals get handed out. Who are they bidding against? You're bidding against yourself. You're putting this giant number out there that there's no guarantee the player is going to earn. And what have we seen from Tua in recent weeks? A guy that's getting paid $55 million who isn't playing like a guy who's getting paid $55 million. At a certain point, it's on you to justify that salary. And it's not a criticism. It's just a fact. So if I'm the 49ers, why am I going to throw a bunch of money at Brock Purdy? Why am I going to do that when I could go draft another guy and develop another guy who could maybe become another Brock Purdy, or pay a veteran a hell of a lot less than top of the market for a guy who, you know, this is the year he was supposed to be dominant. That's what he said before the season. I want to be dominant this year. Well, they haven't been dominant.
No.
They've been middle of the pack at best. And yes, it has a lot to do with injuries, but great quarterbacks tend to overcome a team's injuries. Patrick Mahomes overcomes whatever happens in Kansas City. Tom Brady always overcame whatever happened in New England. And Brock Purdy has not overcome the adversity the 49ers have gone through this year.
Mike, we were talking about this earlier. Do you think teams in the NFL pay attention to what fans think? Do you think they get a feel for their market and what fans think?
I think it's foolish if you don't. And when I hear, you know, the old school football guys, and Andrew Berry made a comment like that this year in Cleveland as it relates to Browns fans not wanting Deshaun Watson to be the quarterback. You know, well, we love our fans, but we're not going to listen to our fans. Well, your fans are your customers. And at some point, you better listen to your fans. At some point, you better have some sensitivity to the outside noise, because those are the people who determine whether or not your stadium is full. Those are the people who determine whether or not your local TV ratings are as high as they can possibly be. Those are the people who have the attachment to the franchise. And if you aren't paying any attention to them, I think you're missing the point. Now, you can factor in their preferences and you can respectfully disagree, but to act like you're above listening to your customers, that's the pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered mindset that Mark Cuban articulated 11 years ago in his prediction of what's eventually going to happen in the NFL. And if owners start ignoring their fan bases, they're going to have problems.
Mike, just to follow up to that, the reason I bring that up partially is because Chris Greer, the noise is loud everywhere. Articles written to people going, this roster is not what it needs to do, and the moves we've made, and people we get rid of, and the people we keep. Fair or not with what Chris Greer's done?
Well, you know what matters? What matters is what Stephen Ross thinks at the end of the day. And he was the one who said right before the season started, this is a Super Bowl team. Now, he added the caveat, injuries can change everything. And, of course, the absence of Tua for four games was a factor. But since he's been back, it's not like they've slipped into this juggernaut status. They still struggle to beat good teams, struggle in cold weather. And at some point, you have to wonder what Stephen Ross is going to do about it. So would it surprise me if he moves on from Chris Greer, especially because so far it looks like they gave Tua Tagovailoa way too much money, and I'm assuming Chris Greer was one of the people saying we should give him this contract, we should give in to his demands, we shouldn't play hardball with him. The other question I have, Joe, and I've been raising this as it relates to the Bears, but this applies to other teams as well. When you're looking for a coach, the traditional avenues are hire a coordinator who's never been a coach before and hope that he can figure out how to coach. Hire a fired former NFL head coach who's available to anyone that wants to hire him, or hire a college coach. And not enough teams consider the option of calling another team that currently has a head coach and saying, hey, you know, is there any chance you'd like to make a change, but you don't want to fire your guy, but maybe you don't want to trade your guy, and, you know, maybe the thing's coming toward an end. And I wonder if the Bears would call Stephen Ross about Mike McDaniel, what Stephen Ross would say about whether or not he'd be willing to let the Bears try to hire Mike McDaniel if the Bears were offering draft pick compensation, because he got an extension before the season too, and I wonder whether or not Stephen Ross regrets that one.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It really is. Hey, I leave you with this one too. How about this Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Clark, and now it's gotten to the vaccinations. I'm just curious wherever the hell that came from with Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
go ahead.
Joe, I've been following this for 3 years. From the moment that Aaron Rodgers lied to everybody about being vaccinated, and it wasn't an affirmative lie, it was a word game. He said, yeah, I've been immunized, and they didn't ask a follow-up. And his attitude is, well, you didn't ask a follow-up, and I would have said I wasn't vaccinated. I've got some homeopathic thing. But regardless, he's got this idea that anyone who criticizes him is potentially bought and paid for by Big Pharma, which means that he says nothing that is susceptible to fair criticism. Nothing he says or does could be reasonably criticized by anybody who wasn't corrupted by Big Pharma. That's his attitude, and he said it multiple times, and it's delusional. I mean, I criticize him all the time. I'm still waiting for my Big Pharma check. You want to pay me for saying what I believe anyway? I'll take it, and I'm being facetious here. But this persecution complex, I mean, there's a lot of weird things going on with Aaron Rodgers, and he has said a couple of times in recent appearances on the Pat McAfee show, when he retires, he's going to disappear and we're never going to hear from him again. I can only hope that he's telling the truth when he says that. I have a feeling he isn't, but I can only hope he is.
He's going back to Oroville, California, work on some relationships with his family. Mike, thank you, and have a great holiday, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. See you, buddy.
All right, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us. I love that stuff. I love that Aaron Rodgers stuff. Oh, God, do I love that. All right, hey, we got a lot more stuff. Alex Donnell going to join us, talk about the Miami Hurricanes. That's coming up next.